today on Real Radio.
What do you know about God? What do you know about the power of God? What do you know about your position in Christ? The more you know that doctrine of your position in Jesus, now you're strong to resist the devil. He can be resisted. Isn't it amazing? In the name of Christ, by the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, he can be resisted. We need that today.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Rule of God in the End, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him, of course, to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of the coming judgment if they don't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 14, we looked at how God is a God of mercy and that he will never give up on Israel. We also learned that Isaiah is now able to see behind the scenes of human governments and into the powers that pull the strings. The angel Lucifer was cast down from heaven for wanting to be like God and has deceived many nations and many of us. He's a very real, invisible enemy, but in the end, God will destroy him. Now in part 2, we'll look into Satan's war plan and how we can fight against him. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that Satan has perfected the art of misinformation. He'll use lies and false doctrine of any sort against us. But when we're tempted by Satan, we need to remember that he takes whatever is good and perverts it. How we deal with the attack shows our spiritual health and progress as a believer. And now, in his lesson called The Rule of God in the End, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we pray now in Jesus' name that you'd give us ears to hear and hearts to receive and feet and hands to put into action. Lord, the things that you'll instruct to us tonight, may we leave this place this evening wiser than having come in. We pray now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles tonight and go to Isaiah chapter 14, and we'll finish off where we started. Last time, Isaiah chapter 14, and the title of the message tonight is really part two of The Rule of God in the End. The Rule of God in the End. You've heard it said often, and so you should hear it, that how does it all turn out in the end? How do we fare as Christians? Does good prevail, or does evil win? Does light triumph over darkness? Does truth conquer the lie? And if you ever want to know the answer to those questions, read the book of Revelation and read the last chapter of the book of Revelation, and you find out that we win in the end. I technically should say the reason why we win in the end, it's not us, it's that the Lord wins in the end and we are associated with him, right? That's the truth of the matter. We actually do nothing. He's done it all. But the Bible makes it very clear Jesus wins in the end. And he is our fearless leader. He is our commander in chief. He is our Lord and Savior. And the rule of God in the end is that he rules forever. And Isaiah chapter 14, and I'm going to just go fast in the front end, recapping what we looked at last time. You guys, we looked at verses 1 and 2 that said this to us. In fact, if you look at it, verse 1, it says, "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob." That's obviously Israel. And he says, "I will choose Israel and settle them in their own land." And Isaiah's prophesying about the future. "The strangers will be joined with them and they will cling to the house of Jacob." Verse 2, "Then people will take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel will possess them for servants and maids in the land of the Lord." I love that, in the land of the Lord. Israel, the Bible says, God says, is my land. They will take them captive, whose captives they were, and rule over their oppressors. And we saw in verses 1 and 2 that God will never give up on the nation of Israel. And you need to hear that. And we touched on that last time, how important that is. Because God has made Israel amazing promises. And he said in the Bible that they are everlasting promises. But right now you hear a world out there that is anti-Jew, anti-Israel, anti-God, anti-Bible. But that's normal because the Bible says that was going to happen. So that's okay. That's all right. Nothing that the UN can do and decide can surprise us as Christians. They are going to continue to go against the nation of Israel, and that's the way it's written. But the Bible says God will stand for them in the end. And we saw that, which leads now to verses 3 to 11. We saw that he will judge the nations. And I'm not going to take time to read all of that portion, but this is where we left off last time, is in verses 9 through 11. Now, it gets awesome here. Maybe you see your notes from our previous study. God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to Israel then, and the condemnation that is coming upon them for having rejected God's rule and God's lead. So he's going to send captivity to them. They're going to be taken captive by their arch enemies. That happened. And they're going to go into captivity. But God will judge the nations because it was in their heart to do that very thing, that is to destroy God's people. So in verse 9, look at Isaiah 14:9, it makes this amazing shift. Now, it's speaking about the king, but watch what happens. Hell from beneath is excited about you. He's talking about those who have rejected God and they've lived their lives. They're coming to the end. But it's going to go really, really exciting, as we saw last time, regarding dark forces. Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you. Isn't that creepy, you guys? All the chief ones of the earth, it has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Verse 10, they all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Now, it starts to go off the king of Israel and now to the spiritual realm. Hell is getting excited. Somebody's arriving. Why? Have you become like as weak as us? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. Now, whoever he's speaking about, he's talking about somebody who hell is getting excited about. Those who are in hell are shocked that they're seeing this one arrive. And whoever this one is, if you were here, were you here last time? It was a couple of weeks ago in our study. You know who I'm talking about, right? Yeah. He has with him stringed instruments. That's a weird thing to say. We are actually talking about the very adversary of our souls. And we're going to be looking at him in a more detailed look this evening. Mark this, verses 12 to 19. The rule of God will destroy our adversary, singular adversary. Note this, verse 12 says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. That's a reference to the throne. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. He sounds like a little baby whining, doesn't it? Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit, and those who see you will gaze at you. And consider you saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them, sleep in glory, every one in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like the abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot. Who is this? Who's the recipient of all this scorn? Lucifer. It's amazing. We are now peering into the judgment of Satan. And again, if you're here last time, you got this. But just, you cannot read Isaiah 14 and leave off Ezekiel 28. So get your pen ready. For those of you who weren't here, you need to follow this because Isaiah 14 is overlaid by Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, that was Ezekiel's nickname, take up a lamentation of the king of Tyre. That is the earthly realm. The king of Tyre was a real guy. And say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal or the pinnacle is what that word means of perfection. This gets weird. The prophecy is given to an earthly man, but the prophecy quickly jumps to the powers behind that earthly man, which keep that in mind, church, tonight. All the powers that are in existence have behind them spiritual powers that propel them. So you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect beauty. Verse 13, you were in Eden. I guarantee you the king of Tyre was not in Eden with Adam and Eve, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. This is interesting because in the Hebrew, it suggests that these stones, every precious stone was your covering, suggesting the Hebrew construction, light, that from whoever we're talking about, it's Satan, Lucifer, that whoever we're talking about, there was an emanation of light coming out of him. So we know already from Scripture that he's somebody extremely powerful. He tampers with the nations. He's deceived nations. Hell is his destination. He was in the garden of God in Eden, and his covering, that is, his skin seems to be that of emanating light or illuminated stones. He's brilliant in wisdom, and he's the seal of perfection. And it goes on to say that the sardis, the topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, sapphire, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship or craftsmanship, some of your Bibles say, of your timbrels and pipes were prepared for you on the day you were created. Some scholars believe that this description of Satan is that his body not only emanates light, but in some way, in some facet, that he emanates sound or music, which is interesting. Now this, I don't want to go too far down this road. I would just say it is interesting that music is something that is extremely powerful for good or for evil, right? Music. Isn't it interesting that worship is accompanied by music? The Bible tells us, for example, in Psalm 150, that we are to use our instruments to the glory of God. We're to play them loudly to the glory of God, it says. Interesting. Well, isn't it just like Lucifer, Satan, to prostitute and pervert everything that God has made that's good? Think about it. Music? Did you know, I forget who this was, forgive me, maybe you know, but it was either Beethoven or Mozart, that they believed that there were certain tempos and beats to music. They said, they wrote this down. They said that they would never play such things because they said it was of a demonic or a dark spiritual tempo or suggestion. Isn't that amazing? Who thinks like that? It's amazing. He perverts everything. Satan does. Everything that is out there, he'll pervert it. God creates marriage, Satan perverts it. Listen, God invents sex. Satan perverts it. On, you name it, Satan perverts it. It's what he does. He's good at it. He's the best devil there'll ever be. It's what he does. But I'm still in Ezekiel. It says in verse 15, right in the middle there, it says that so that you were the perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing. This is interesting because he has been cast out, but he still has access to the throne room of God to talk to God. But there's coming in the book of Revelation chapter 12 who will be cast out forever. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. That's pretty pathetic. In other words, you left off everything that was good because you were impressed with yourself. Wow. Think about that. You ever meet somebody who's really impressed with themselves? Oof. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Satan, who is he? What can we learn about him tonight in our Bible study? First of all, mark this down. The biggest hurdle that you have tonight in the Bible study is actually coming to the grips that there's an actual Satan. Did you know that? A vast majority of Christians polled do not believe in an actual Satan. Do you understand that? They say they're Christians, but they don't believe in not only the Word of God, they don't believe in what Jesus has said about Satan himself. No, listen, everybody. The Bible says, Jesus says as himself that Lucifer, Satan, is a real personality. He's a real person. He's an angel. He's a cherub. He's powerful. According to the Bible, he appears to be the most beautiful angel that God ever created. But he's a very real, invisible enemy to us. And just for the record, I want to repeat this from last time. Lucifer, Satan, is not God's equal enemy. You understand that? God has no equal enemy. Lucifer, Satan, is the equal enemy to Michael or maybe Gabriel. We assume Gabriel, but we know for sure Michael. And oh, by the way, while we're at it, you and I have no power over Satan outside of the promises of God. Make note of this. A lot of people who have been brought up in the Pentecostal movement have been taught for you to go around rebuking Satan. Just rebuke Satan. Rebuke that spirit. Do that. You know the Bible says that nowhere? The Bible says that the Lord has granted us authority over demons, but listen, again, Michael the archangel says that when he encountered Lucifer, Satan, he said, Michael said, the Lord rebukes you, Satan, the great Michael, the archangel. What we are to do is we are to employ the power of God in that rebuke. The Lord rebukes you, Satan, or the Lord rebukes this demon or this activity. We need to be very wise about that. We need to be very careful about that. We have been given all authority to call upon the power source of God regarding these dark things. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says to us more than ever today, Christian, listen up, be sober, be vigilant, be serious and on guard. Christian, listen, can I say that again? Be serious and on guard. Why? Because he says right there, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Wow. Resist him steadfast in the faith. What does that mean? By faith, you can fight him and resist him because that is your strength. What do you know about God? What do you know about the power of God? What do you know about your position in Christ? The more you know that doctrine of your position in Jesus, now you're strong to resist the devil. He can be resisted. Isn't it amazing? In the name of Christ, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, he can be resisted. That's encouraging. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, very encouraging. We need that today. When you and I are tempted, we are being attacked. How many of you were tempted today? Raise your hand. There's liars in this service right now. If you weren't tempted today, you're probably dead. You're probably on life support. Tempted. Tempted to sleep in. See, you were thinking big temptations, weren't you? I know you. I could feel it. You were thinking, well, you know. Oh, no, listen, they come in all shapes and sizes. Guess what? All of us are tempted extremely, I was going to say all the time, but that's an exaggeration, a lot of the time. But here's the thing. The temptation's not the sin. The enemy shoots his darts at you and arrows at you with a constant bombardment of temptation all the time. That's not a sin. The sin is when you begin to entertain and then employ that temptation. Think of that. How you deal with the attack determines your spiritual health and progress as a believer. There's a lot of Christians that you and I know that succumb, it seems, to every temptation that hits them. And poor things, they're Christians, they're going to heaven, but my goodness, they're going to get into heaven. It's going to, it's like their tail feathers are all smoldering and burnt from Satan's attacks. They're going to go into heaven like, oh man. Well, what happened? Well, I just kind of fell for every temptation that came along. Well, look at you up here. You look horrible. You suffer so much. But the Bible tells us that sin shall not have dominion over us. In the book of Romans, it says that God's given us the power to fight these temptations. Not literally, but Jesus said, figuratively, that if your eye offends you, pluck it out. He didn't say pluck it out. I have to say that in case there's some person in here going, well, I'm going to follow God. It's figurative. Listen, in fact, to prove it, after the second temptation, you would be blind for the rest of your life. Nobody would have any eyeballs left. Jesus said, if your right hands offend you, cut it off. He's trying to make a point. In other words, it's better for you to lose your hand than to continue on that path of destruction. Fight the temptation. But thank God the Lord's going to destroy our adversary someday. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains, that's the Holy Spirit, will do so until he is taken out of the way. Please note that, everybody, the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way when the rapture hits. He doesn't leave. He doesn't go anywhere. He steps aside. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. Somebody say amen. That's awesome. And destroy with the brightness of his coming. By the way, that's not the rapture here. That's the second coming. Verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, speaking about the Antichrist, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing. Ouch. That means those who are being led astray are being led astray by satanic powers. Ultimately, the Antichrist is going to lead much of the world astray. And how does he do it? By miraculous signs, by deception. And who is victimized by that? Those who are perishing. Listen, this is very important, because as we talk about the battle strategies of the enemy tonight, I hope you leave this place very, very confident and very excited.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Rule of God in the End, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today, and our hope is that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because only Christ can fill the void in your heart. The Rule of God in the End, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has a collection of videos called Real Life Basics right there at his website? These short but powerful videos are designed to help define the basic principles of Christianity, and they're stepping stones toward a deeper walk with Christ. Some of the titles include What is a Christian? How to Grow in Christ? The Real Life Basics on the Holy Spirit? Prayer? And What's the Best Way to Study the Bible? So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on that tab that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. And then click on Real Life Basics. And if you've downloaded the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app onto your mobile device, you'll find it right there on the Home tab under Resources. Again, our website is reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.